What happens? What is a purpose pitfall? What is a purpose pitfall? A purpose pitfall are things that are on the road that you can fall into when you lose focus on where you're going. Write that down. A purpose pitfall are those things on the road that you can fall into when you lose focus about where you're going. You know, I want to talk about in that idea of what it means to avoid purpose pitfalls. I need to talk to you about the difference between loyalty and unity. There's a big difference. There's a big difference when it comes between loyalty and unity. And I'm going to tell you what the big difference is. It's covenant. It makes all the difference in the world. You can be dating someone for years and you guys might be loyal to one another. But until you become unified in God, you are still two separate people. In other words, you don't have one vision, you have two. And when you have two visions, what's that called? Division. And so you can't be just loyal. You have to be unified. Write that down. You must be unified. The church, though, for so many years are just, we're loyal to whom we are loyal. I love Apollos. I love the Apostle Peter. I love Apostle Paul. And Paul said this, is Christ divided? Of course not. We're all one in him. We are unified in him. And if you don't know the difference between loyalty and unity, you will get caught up innocently in someone else's complaint or issue before you know it. Have you ever had a situation happen where someone complains about somebody else, and then every time you look at them, you remember that complaint? Maybe someone did that to you, and it took a long time for someone to get the nerve to come and ask you themselves whether it was true or not. We can sow seeds of discord into each other by words. And what's important is that we must not get caught up in another person's pitfall. Somebody say amen. Now, let me write this down, please. There is a difference. Loyalty is to a person. In other words, you will leave when there are changes. That's how you know the difference. Loyalty is to a person. So if this guy I like, he leaves, I'm out of here. But I go to the church, but because that person left, I'm out. No, loyalty is to a person. Unity is to a vision. Write that down. Unity is to a vision. It's a big difference between a person and a vision. A vision comes from God. A vision is everything. A vision, when a person has a vision, when change comes, they trust the pastor to bring about the vision. It is unity. That's why a pastor pushes for unity, because when change and things happen, you begin to trust the vision that is laid out there. Why are you here? Because of the vision. Why did you show up? Because of the vision. What is the vision? That's what I'm following, because that is spiritual. That comes from God. That isn't just a man. A vision comes from above. And without vision, Proverbs 29 says, the people perish. When you are just in a church without vision, you will perish. And unfortunately, that's what happens in a lot of churches. If you're a really good preacher, a lot of people will be loyal to you. But what if the vision is bigger than you? What if the vision lasts longer than you do as a preacher? Does it all end when you go? No. Unity to the vision is what God is talking to us about tonight. Unity of vision keeps you moving forward despite those that fall to the wayside. Let me give you an example. I love to use the children of Israel. The children of Israel are the perfect example of what happens in a local church today. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to look at verse 8. And we're going to see the difference between loyalty and unity of vision. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8. Unity of vision. Now, this is very important. God, watch this. God gives vision. Write that down. God gives vision. It's bigger than the person he gives it to. Hello, somebody. You ought to shout and be glad that God has a vision for your life that's bigger than all your enemies. Somebody say amen. I am grateful to the Lord that the vision he has given our church is bigger than just me and is bigger than any obstacle I can face. So God's vision will empower me to achieve what he wants me to do. Watch this. God gave the children of Israel a vision. And it was a pretty good one, if you ask me. Here's what he says in the King James Version. He says, "And I am come down." This is what God said. "I'm come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." That the children of Israel were in Egypt in bondage and were miserable. They were eating leeks and honey and onions. The breast thing. That's what it was. And it says it in the Bible. And God, it reached up to heaven. You can tell that's some bad breath. That God had to do something about it. I'm just kidding. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hands of the Egyptians. There's a promise there. There's a promise, a vision. I will no longer be under bondage. Watch this. And to bring them out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. How many know God will never take you out of someplace without taking you to someplace? Hello, somebody. Listen, don't believe the lie that, hey, well, God just called me out. No, ain't nobody out. God either calls you to someplace or he calls you from someplace. But I'm letting you know there's always a vision. You must know where you're going. Now get this. This is very important. He says this. I'm going to send you to a land. Watch this. Flowing with milk and honey. No more onions. Onion pie. Onion soup. Onion bread. I mean, onion souffle. Onion. Or onion, if you're from Louisiana. He says, I'm going to bring you out. And I'm going to take you to a place flowing with milk and honey. This is the vision. Unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and everything else that's right. Amen, somebody. God had a vision that I'm going to get you to the right place at the right time. Listen to me. When God speaks a vision over you, he will always take you somewhere that is clear and he will tell you what he's going to do. Watch this. Now, when you get a vision from God, there is power in the vision. Somebody say amen. This is critical because, you know, people come and go, but vision comes from God. Unity of vision, watch this. Unity of vision trumps any obstacles in your way. Unity of vision. When we are all unified to the vision that God gives us, every obstacle in our way, it will trump. How do I know this? God said, I'm going to deliver you out of Egypt. You're going to end up into a land that's flowing with milk and honey. My goodness. And I'm going to knock out all the rights of the people. All the rights. And he says, I'm going to do it. Well, in order to do that, Pharaoh hardened his heart and kept the people. But the vision was they're supposed to be in the promised land. So God sent 10 plagues until Pharaoh let the people go. And then they got to a Red Sea. And the Red Sea was between them and crossing over to the promised land. And the enemy was on their back. What do you do? Do you panic? See, here's what happened. Everybody there was loyal to Moses until problems started to happen. Come on, somebody. Everybody was loyal to Moses until they couldn't understand what was going to happen. Then they're like, it'd have been better for me to stay in Egypt than follow you way out here. And Moses was like, God, you got to help me because I'm wrong. But listen to me. When God speaks a word over your life, the word itself has the power. He says, stretch out your hand. And the Red Sea had to split. Because why? God gave them a vision, and the vision is yet for an appointed time. It will not tarry, but it shall come to pass. Listen, God says, like my word won't come back to me void. When I send out my word, it cannot return to me void. What I speak must happen. I promised you a land of milk and honey. So the Red Sea, you better dry up. The Pharaoh, you better let him go. When the enemies come at you, y'all better bow down, because there's a vision bigger than the people. Hello, somebody. The question you got to ask yourself is, are you part of a vision bigger than you? Wow. That's the kicker. Because God will place you in a place that will make the vision so big, there's a place for you, and you've got to say, God, I am sticking to the vision. I'm not following just people. I'm following the vision. Watch this. Watch this. Unity of vision trumps loyalty even to your leaders. Wow. Unity of vision, meaning unity of what God called this church to do, is bigger than Steve Yates. It'll trump me. I'm going to give you an example. Go to Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Now watch this. Moses was the big man. Moses was the leader. Moses was given the promise. The vision was given to Moses. However, Moses died. Moses went on to glory. Now what? What happens when the thing you were hoping for to happen dies on you? What happens when the job you were looking for, the door shuts on you? What happens if the diagnosis you were believing for doesn't come through for you? You got to remember the vision. Watch what happens. After Moses died, and look what it says. Now, after the death of Moses, can we all read together? Go. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of... It came to pass. Saying, watch this. Moses, my servant, is what? Now, what does he tell him to do? Do you see that? The unity of the vision was, I'm going to take you over to a land flowing with milk and honey. And even though Moses is no longer around, it doesn't change that I'm out here to bless you. I got a man always in the bush that I'm going to bring up, and his name is Joshua, and he will take you into your land of promise. Why? Because the vision was bigger than the leader. Somebody say amen. And God is trying to let you know that don't get a hold of just people, places, and things. Don't hold on to that. Hold on to what you cannot see, but you must believe. If he gives you a vision, hold on to it, because it must come to pass. I love our vision here at our church. Frontier Church's vision is to establish the largest multicultural church that reaches the lost, serves our community, and experiences the presence of God together in unity. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what that means. That means for me that anybody trying to stop what we're doing can't. Anybody trying to talk down what we're doing is just going to go in the wind. Why? Because God gave a vision that's bigger than me. God gave a vision bigger than any one person in this church. And we must obtain what he said. We must become one of the largest multicultural churches that reaches the lost, serves our community, and experiences God's presence together. And somebody say amen on that. That means everybody gets a taste of the presence of God. Why? Because he said it. That's the vision. That's what he's speaking of. And watch this. When you think about the difference between loyalty and unity, loyalty is always people-based. It's always people-based. But unity is always vision-based. Are you loyal to me, or are you loyal to the vision? Let me say to you, I don't want you loyal to me. Somebody say amen. Amen. Because, you know, most people are like, hey, look at me, look at me. Let me tell you right now, don't look at me, look to him. He gave us an incredible vision. And that means we're not going to just be in the U.S. We're going to be across the seas. Last year, he told me we were going to be preaching in Kenya. And how do you know, don't you know that everything rolled out and we were over in Kenya preaching in the pulpit on dirt because God said it was going to happen? Come on. This is the reality. Listen, it ain't about one of us. Not one of us. Not one of us. If the best of us leaves, God's vision still must come to pass. You don't chase even the best one of us because the best one of us didn't get the vision. Only the house got it. Somebody say amen. That means if I stick where I'm supposed to be, I'm going to get what I'm supposed to have. Somebody say amen. Man, that's what I love, because people can be fickle, people can change, people can flip on you, people want their money back, you know what I'm saying? Want the money back. But if you're married to the vision of the house and saying, God, I'll do everything, you can use me to help this come to pass. You can use me, God, to help serve our community, reach the lost, and experience the presence of God together in unity. I believe in that. Well, what if Pastor Steve keels over tomorrow? Y'all better keep going. And this ain't one of them sermons that I'm going to preach and then die like in a week. I'm not going nowhere. I'm just saying. Because I've heard that happen before. He was prophetic. No, I'm not. Y'all just hear that. Anyway, if I were to die today, it's bigger than Steve Yates. Somebody else should step up like a Joshua and take the vision and take the people to the next place, because it has to come to pass. God cannot lie. And if God can't lie, that means we can't just let the vision lie. It's got to get up and it's got to get going. Somebody say amen. That means God will provide resources, people, and any obstacles in our way, he'll knock them down. We got any enemies trying to track us down, he'll take care of them too. God will bring us into a land flowing with milk and honey. And when God told me, Steve, I want you to build a campus, I went in this place. Remember we got this building? And I said, we got a building. I said, no, we got a campus. They're like, this is all we got. No, it ain't. I speak the vision. Hello, somebody. God told me we would have a campus, and all of a sudden we buying up land and people giving us land and people want to give us stuff. And I'm like, God's word has to come to pass. And sometimes at the most chaotic times among the body, when they are rebelling and going, I don't want to go, is when God goes. Well, okay, let me show you. Out of the 12 spies that spy out the land, only two kept their eyes on the vision that God spoke of. Only two. Now, let me prove it to you. Go to Numbers chapter 13, verses 27 and 28. That would have been a shame. You have it? Say amen. All right, let's all read together. Go. Now, let me give you backdrop. They were now at the promise, the vision. It was right there. They literally could see it. They were this close. I mean, this close. Over a million people. That close. That close. And he sent 12 spies and said, go take a look at the land and come back and give us a report. And here's what they said. They told him, we came into the land whether thou sentest us, and surely, God's word is true. God is righteous, and God keeps his promises. Surely, it flows with milk and honey, just like he said. And this is the fruit of it. Boom! And they come out with this big old thing of fruit. Nevertheless, now you see that right there? Do you see that? Right there is a vision killer. A vision killer is when somebody or something produces the idea of, but nevertheless, it ain't going to work. It ain't going to work. God ain't going to do it. That's a vision killer. not for the children of Israel. I mean, not for God, for the children of Israel. Listen, let me show you what's going to happen. Watch this. Please listen to me. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. That was the children of the giants. All they could see wasn't what God said in the vision, that part was true. They saw all these obstacles, and they forgot what God did for them all of this distance. And they focused on what was wrong instead of what was right. Good God Almighty. See, listen to me. You've got to, you can't be loyal to people because people will sometimes be negative. You've got to say, well, what does the vision say? What did the vision say? What did God say? Should I listen to the negativity? Because if God can, if you bringing back all of this fruit, then the rest has to be true. Watch what happened. Look at this. Here's how unity looks at vision. Numbers 14, 7 through 9. Watch this. Numbers 14, 7 through 9. Numbers 14. Praise the Lord. 7. There we go. Let's watch this. Now, this is Joshua and Caleb, two people out of 10. 10 said, we can't do it. 2 speaks up. And they spake unto the company of the children of Israel, saying, listen, guys, the land which we pass through to search it, it's exceedingly good land. And if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against. What does rebellion against the Lord look like? When you disregard the vision. When you are not bought out to the vision, then that's like rebellion to the Lord. It's like, no, I don't believe it's going to happen. I'm just here. I don't believe these are the people that can make it happen. I don't believe these are the leaders that can make it happen. So I don't believe God. That's like saying to God, you can't do it. And here in the verse, we're watching, and it says, only rebel ye not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are like bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Joshua and Caleb were like, guys, you can either look at half full or half empty, but you've got to believe the vision that it's going to happen. But look at this. How did God feel about it when it was all said and done? Go to Numbers chapter 14. I'm going to look at verse 22 and 23. Here's what God said about the children of Israel. He was talking to Caleb. He was talking to Joshua, the ones that believed. That's powerful right there. See, the word of the Lord didn't come to everybody. It came to only those who believed. Watch this. Because all those men which have seen my glory and seen my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. Woo! Well, wait, God, you just said they were going to enter into the promised land. Well, if you didn't know the rest of the story, here's what he did. They were at the door of their promise. And God said, everybody back in the car, back on the van, back on the bus. We're about to go back to Egypt. And God sent them on another 40-year journey. They were this close to their destiny, this close to their promise, this close to just all that God had for them. And they didn't believe. They didn't believe. And so they had to go 40 years back. And by the time the 40th year was done, every one of them had died. And their children walked in the promised land. Isn't that something? You can either believe in the vision and experience it, or you can doubt it and let your kids see it. I'm going in by myself. I'm going in. Anybody else going in with me? No, you ain't going to get me stuck out there in the wilderness. No, sir. I'm telling you, if God said it could happen, it's going to happen. But listen to me. I need you to make a decision. Are you going to be loyal to a person, or will you be unified by the vision? What makes you a church? What makes you a people? Is it me, or is it what God said he's going to do through you? Make your decision up tonight. Am I loyal to a person, or am I loyal to the vision that God sent me here for? Let me see. If you're loyal to the vision, raise your hand up in the air. Let me see it. That's what I'm talking about. Because no matter what happens, who leaves, who dies, or who doesn't get in the promised land, you're still going to see it. Because God promised you. God promised you. The vision trumps all. You know, we're going to have, and this is a truth that I need you to understand, you know, and this is real. In every church, you're going to have misunderstandings. Somebody say amen. The only thing is, it doesn't happen here because we're perfect. I've never had a misunderstanding with any of y'all. Everybody always been nice to me. And y'all don't ever have problems with one another. I know that, right? But in every place, there will be misunderstandings. What do you do when you start to have a misunderstanding? What do you do when one of your great leaders leaves and you don't understand why? Do you just leave because this is a sign of the times? Or do you stick to the vision and say, God, I trust you? You will always find problems in church because church was not made for the healthy. It was made for the sick. Look at your neighbor and say, you sick. I can't believe y'all did that. Everybody got issues. Hello, somebody. Right? So church is not going to be the ground where everybody's perfect and everybody's going to be here. You can look around today and there'll be people that'll be gone next year, but God's vision is still going where God's vision is going. Someone say amen. And so I want to encourage you with this one thought. If, like with the children of Israel, no matter what obstacle comes in your way, you got to be alive to see this thing happen. And that means whatever you're facing, whatever you've run into, whatever problem is running your way, whatever enemy is trying to tell you in your personal life it's not going to work, I want you to remember the church that you belong to. And remember that the vision that God gave you requires that you experience the presence of God. So no matter what happens in your life, God's got you covered. No matter who says, no matter who does, it doesn't matter. There is a word over your life. Let's give God a great hand clap of praise today.